When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Popcorn, peanuts, strawberry slushies.
Welcome to No Bunts, the podcast for the casual baseball fan here at the Athletic Baseball Show feed. I'm J.E. Skeets, still on the mound, three innings in, arms feeling good, and with me in studio, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is. And my co-host, joining us from Taiwan, he always gets a kick out of the popcorns, peanuts, strawberry slushies. I call him Mr. October because he loves Halloween candy and scary movies. It's Joel McMillan. What's up, Joel?
I am doing well, Skeets. It's good to be here. Talk some playoff baseball.
Yes, yes, indeed. But you do love scary movies. Do you have a favorite Halloween spooky movie?
Two come to mind. Friday the 13th, Part 4, Final Chapter, and The Conjuring.
Oh, okay. Okay. Those are
legitimately scared me as an adult. Not going to lie. Turned on the lights. No shame in the game.
Hey, me too, man. I don't even watch those things. I don't know how you do it. Well, let's get into it, Joel. We got lots to break down in the postseason, and we're going to start today's pod with a little fair or foul. One, I'm jumping right into it, Joel. Fair or foul, Bryce Harper is the face of modern day baseball.
That's a fair ball, Skeets. That is a fair ball. Now, I know some people might disagree, and some people might automatically say, oh, it's Ohtani or it's possibly even Aaron Judge. But in my opinion, like right now, at this moment, it's Bryce Harper, and I think it's Bryce Harper for a couple reasons. After he signed with the Phillies, this was in the 2019 offseason, I know it was a couple years ago, but his jersey was the number one new jersey launch. It had the highest sales within 24 hours in any sport, and the Phillies ended up selling an extra 100,000 tickets when he announced his signing. So that just goes to show you kind of the impact that he's had. I think he's a guy that's very self-aware. He's very media savvy. He's obviously very talented. Like, he's a good-looking guy. He's charismatic. You're seeing a lot more of him on TV, like as the playoffs. He's kind of must-see TV. They're showing what clothes he's wearing. There was a photo of him the other day with a suit, and on the liner, it had a bunch of places in Philadelphia. I think a couple years ago, people saw him kind of as an entitled player. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16, I believe. The title of the article was The Chosen One or The Next One, I can't be mistaken. And I think that turned fans off, and they're like, well, who's this guy? Like, he hasn't proved anything yet. But I think he's converted a lot of those people. He's converted a lot of those haters. Like, I'm one of them. And yeah, I think he's absolutely the face of baseball right now. He's got an amazing pedigree. The only thing that he's missing is a championship. And the way the Phillies are playing right now, I think he's well on his way to getting his first one. Don't want to jinx him. But I think he's the face of baseball right now. Skeets, I'm curious, like, as a casual fan, what's your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, all your reasons make sense. I hadn't realized until doing a little research before jumping on here with you that, yeah, he got the LeBron treatment. You said it there. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, 16 years old, high school phenom. And it said, I just looked at it, the chosen one, baseball's chosen one. That's a lot of pressure. Obviously, we saw what LeBron did with it. Turned out to be one of the greatest of all time. And Bryce Harper is trying to replicate that. Look, the guy's on fire right now. In game one versus the Diamondbacks, he crushed a 420-foot first-inning home run. And then he blew out his finger candles, Joel, as he crossed home plate. I didn't know finger Happy candles birthday. Were a thing. Yeah, it was his birthday. He also lined an RBI single in the third. He walked and scored in the fifth. He was getting the MVP chance, you know, sort of all night long and has been throughout the postseason. Right now, no doubt he is. But you brought up some other big names. Ohtani, for sure, is going to be, in theory, challenging that over the next couple of years. But look, a World Series here for Bryce Harper, I mean, that's one of the one of those things you got to add to the resume, right?
For sure, yeah. And, I mean, Bryce Harper, this might sound weird, Skeets, but Bryce Harper almost is America to me. He's American baseball. He's got the, you know, like a lot of the Phillies guys, they wear the American flag bandana or accessories.
Yep.
And he came out, I think this week, the Olympics are coming to Los Angeles in 2028. And he said, like, put me in, I want to play. That would put him, I think, at 36 or 37. That would be awesome. I don't think Harper's played at a World Baseball Classic, which to me is crazy. I can't believe he hasn't played at one or in one.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, to me, like right now, he's the face. Like, I know this always changes, you know, like as time goes on, but it just kind of feel like he's the guy, like he's the natural one to kind of take this role. And I love watching him play and I love watching the Phillies play. But I mean, if he gets this ring, I think that's going to kind of cement him as the face right now, for sure.
Yeah. Well, moving on, Kyle Schwarber, he hit two of Philadelphia's three solo homers off Merrill Kelly. And these Phillies, man, they just pounded the Diamondbacks 10-0 in Game 2 last night, Tuesday night. They have the 2-0 lead in the NL Championship Series. So Schwarber's two long balls were Philadelphia's 14th and 15th homers in the last four games as the Phillies just continue to mash their way through October. So fair or foul, Joel, the Phillies will never stop socking dingers.
I want to say fair so bad, Skeets, on this one, because they're so, I mean, it's crazy what they're doing, but I'm going to say foul. But before I get to my reason, I just want to kind of add a couple points to what you were saying too. In the last four games, the Phillies have hit three home runs off of the same pitcher, and that hasn't been done since June 9th to June 13th, the 1894 Chicago Colts did it. So a little fun fact. They hit three home runs off AJ Smith Shaver, three home runs off Spencer Strider, three home runs off of Zach Gallen, and three home runs off of Merrill Kelly. And Strider and Gallen, I mean, man, they're going to get Cy Young votes. Those guys are some jabronis. You know, those are some big names too. So now I'm going to say foul for this. Baseball is a cruel sport, and the law of averages usually happens at the worst time, and teams can get white hot and they can just go ice cold just as quickly. What the Phillies are doing right now is crazy. But I mean, can they keep it up for another six wins? That remains to be seen. I don't know. I think they're going to take care of Arizona, but it'll be interesting to see, like, if they do get to the World Series, and I think they will, if they can maintain this offensive production. And even, like, the home runs, man, they're getting a ton of extra base hits, doubles, Realmuto, Turner had doubles last night. I mean, it's a lot of extra base hits. They're just bludgeoning teams right there. So I'm going to say foul because the law of averages in baseball says it's not sustainable, but I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, right now, any at-bat, when they are especially at home in that park with that crowd and everybody standing, you know, 40,000 plus on their feet, it does sort of feel like they're going to hit a home run every time they're up there because the energy is just it like does. Through the roof and they're coming through all these guys. I mean, Schwarber, I said he hit two in game two there. He is now at 18 home runs in his career in the postseason. He had six for Philly in last year's playoffs. So he is tied with Reggie Jackson and Mickey Mantle. Kyle Schwarber.
Oh my gosh.
Only six other players have more MLB postseason home runs in their career. Like, that's where he is right now. And he's not the only one hitting all these dingers. They are on a heater. I would like to say, though, because it's getting overlooked because the story is, dinger after dinger after dinger. Last night, you know, Phillies pitcher Aaron Nola, he another gem, like another great game, three hit ball, struck out seven in six innings. Through his three postseason starts, he has struck out 19, and his ERA is under 1. It's 0.96. So this guy in every series, be it the wild card against Miami, against the Braves, he struck out 9 in that series, and then last night, Joel. Like, it is getting overlooked a little bit how great the Philly pitchers have done in this postseason.
Yeah, they're starting pitching, their bullpen, they've got the best bullpen ERA too this postseason, and they're averaging almost 6 runs. They're averaging 5.8 runs per game. So when you're getting that offensive production combined with that bullpen and that starting pitching, man, it's hard to bet against the Phillies at this point. They just look the part. Man, who picked the Phillies to win the World Series? Do you know?
Yeah, how much money did you actually put on it, though? How many fin dogs did you put down?
No fin dogs. Oh. 0 fin dogs. Hey. I should have.
Joel, you're right. A couple weeks ago, you were calling it before the postseason had even started. You're like, yeah, I like the Phillies to pull this off. And they've got a long way to go still. They got to get there. They got to put away the Diamondbacks. It feels like that's going to happen. And then they obviously have to play either the Rangers or the Astros. And it's looking like the Rangers, who are up 2-0 in their series. And that's our next fair or foul question. Fair or foul, Joel, the Texas Rangers are a World Series lock. You can put them in pen. They're going there up 2-0 on Houston. What do you think?
I deliberated on this one, Skeets, but I'm going to go foul.
Whoa. Wow. Okay.
Listen, I know they're up 2-0. Like, that's huge. Listen, they have, I mean, as good as the Phillies have looked, Skeets, the Rangers have almost matched them, not in terms of like offensive production, but man, they've knocked out, they knocked out Baltimore and they knocked out Tampa Bay. And those were the two best teams in the American League. Yeah. Swept them both. They look fantastic. They've done it. Pretty much all their wins have come on the road as well. They've only played one home game in this playoff, which is crazy to believe. Texas has been a very weird team the past 2 months. They looked great up until mid-August, and then they just kind of imploded. They had a massive losing streak, including being swept by the Astros in their own park. And then they kind of backed into the playoffs. So they kind of have had a weird 6 weeks, but then in the playoffs, they've absolutely looked the part. A big reason why, though, their bullpen has been fantastic. That was kind of their Achilles heel all season long, and especially late in the season. But for whatever reason, they've righted the ship. I think a big reason why Texas's bullpen has been so good has been a result of their starting pitching. Their starters, Montgomery and Eovaldi, especially, have been able to go deep into games. They've been able to get like 18 to 20 outs. That's huge. You've got to use your bullpen less. So Texas looks really good, but man, like betting against Houston in October, I don't know. Or sorry, betting against the Astros in October, I don't know. To me, that's a risky bet. The games have been close. The Astros definitely had chances to win both of, or at least one of those games, but the Rangers were able to hold on. I think the longer this series goes, it favors the Astros. It's kind of like in Karate Kid, sweep the leg, Johnny. Like, they're up 2-0 now. They've got to finish this, because if this series gets back to Houston, I think the Astros are going to win in 6 or 7 games. Like, Texas needs to finish this off. They look the part right now, but I don't want to bet against the Astros just yet.
Okay, that's all fair, but the Rangers are 7-0 in the postseason.
They are.
And I feel like nobody cares. Like, this, no one is really talking about this at all. I mean, it's all Phillies.
You're
and all the
right.
dingers. It's like, they haven't lost. And you said it. I mean, they're going to be hosting, a game once again in their own park here in this series, but they've played once at home, obviously won, and everything else has been on the road. Like, that is remarkable. And here's a crazy little fact for you. If the Rangers, who I believe actually are going to beat the Astros here and go to the World Series, if they are to play the Phillies, the Rangers will have home field advantage. They both had 90 wins in the regular season, and the tiebreaker goes to, obviously, their matchup. The Rangers, like, swept the Phillies in a March series. Like, way back in March. So they would have home field advantage, which is also, like, sort of trippy here. Not that it matters because they went on the road, but that's a weird little fact, right?
Well, here's another interesting fact, too. The Astros were 6-1 in Texas this year, too. So they the Astros absolutely owned the Rangers in their own building. But Yeah, you know, we'll see. We're going to see what the Astros are made of. Their back has been against the wall before in the playoffs. They're, you know, I feel like they're used to this. They're battle tested. You know, this is kind of new territory for the Rangers. But you're right, Skeets, that the Rangers haven't gotten any credit at all. You're right. It kind of has gone under the radar, which I don't really understand. But yeah, it's just how it's gone.
Yeah, and I go fair here that the Rangers are a World Series lock, but it's not like a master lock, right? It's like one of those crappy locks we had in high school, Joel, like that, you know, you could basically just pull on it and it would come apart. They were like $3.99, and this is what we were using to like protect all of our books and our shorts that we had in our locker. So yeah, it's not the strongest lock in the world, but I think they're going to get there. All right, okay. Next one. Last week, the Dodgers, they were embarrassed by a division rival in a shocking NLDS loss for the second straight postseason. This is the second time in a row it happened. So fair or foul, this one was the Dodgers' most disappointing postseason exit yet.
Well, Tass always gives me a hard time for beating up on the Dodgers, and I feel it's warranted most of the time. But I'm going to say foul for this one for a couple reasons. The biggest reason for me is going, like, the Dodgers are always kind of a perennial threat. Like, they're always going to be there. Like, you know, if you at the beginning of the season, if you pick the Dodgers, you're like, that's not a bad pick. But they lost several key players. They lost Cody Bellinger, Trey Turner, Justin Turner. Those were three big pieces, as well as the injuries they had to Walker Buehler, Tony Gonsolin, and Gavin Lux. So they were missing a lot of key players. But even like in spite of that, they were still able to win the division, a division that myself and a lot of other people thought was going to be won by San Diego. They had great seasons, you know, with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, and they kind of were able to steady the ship and they had a great season. They did get embarrassed by Arizona. Yes. But I think like if you kind of look at the Dodgers' recent playoff history, I think they've had more worse playoff exits than this one. I just think the injuries and all the just kind of bad luck caught up to the Dodgers in October. So I'm going to say foul, but it's still not a good look. It just kind of adds to the whole Dodgers reputation of choking in October. But I think a healthy Dodgers team beats Arizona. I'm not going to play the what if game. I know I kind of just did, but you know, I think a healthy LA team beats Arizona and beats them handily.
Yeah, the reason why this one might be fair, though, is they were 18 games better, the Dodgers were, than the Diamondbacks in the regular season. They had dominated them the past few years as well in their matchups, but the Dodgers never led in the series at all. That is a tough pill to swallow when you once again won another 100 games. In fact, I read that they're the second team in history to win 100 games during the regular season and never lead during an ensuing postseason series, joining the 63 Yankees. So a team to win that many games in the regular season and then never actually lead. They only had 2 runs each game against Arizona. And just, it is wild now in 4 of the past 5 years, right? They go out to the 2019 Nationals, the 21 Braves, the 22 Padres, and now the 23 D-backs. And they were all upsets in regards to the records because they were much better in the regular season than all of those teams that knocked them out. So they got one World Series ring, right, in 2020.
I'm going to say half of one.
Yeah, you always point that out, don't you? I think Tass is right. You are always trying to bury them. But do you think Dave Roberts is safe as manager of that team because of that one ring or half ring, as you call it, despite them coming up short time after time after time here?
I can't justify him coming back. I thought he would have been fired in the past year, the past 2 years, the past 3 years. You're like, oh, this is it. This is it. Cause Roberts has kind of made some decisions that he's managed them out of the playoffs. I don't think this playoff loss was on him. Arizona just straight up beat, you know, like they dominated the Dodgers. I'm not going to put that on Roberts, but you know, you need a scapegoat. I don't see the justification in him coming back, but at the same time, I don't think he's the reason why they haven't won, you know, why they haven't been more successful in recent years. I just think they've just kind of failed to deliver. They just, like I said, they're just, I don't know what it is. They're just cursed. They just can't get over that hump.
Yeah, it got off to a rough start in this series, or that last series against the D-backs, when Kershaw gave up, five runs early in that game, sort of set the tone for the rest of that series and them getting swept.
That was tough.
That was a rough start. All right, final one here in fair or foul. Six of the eight series up until this point have been sweeps. There could be two more still in play here with, obviously, the Phillies and the Rangers up 2-0. A lot of baseball still to go, but you never know. We have not had a single series stretched the distance. So, fair or foul, the 2023 MLB postseason has been boring.
Fair. Pains me to say it, Skeets. Pains me to say it, wow. But fair. We put a post on this on No_Bunts. Going to plug the IG.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, I mean, you just said it. I mean, six of the eight series have been sweeps, and the other two went four games. We haven't seen any winner-take-all game. And of the 26 games played so far, 17 have been decided by three runs or fewer. And you're like, oh, well, that should mean the games are close. They're exciting. But, and maybe this is just more a subjective thing, even the games that have been within three runs don't feel close or exciting. Yeah. I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something missing from, you know, October's past. I don't really know what it is. Now, that being said, Fox came out and said game one of Houston and Texas was the highest rated LCS game on TV since 2015. I mean, I'm assuming that's to do with the All-Texas matchup. Yeah. But outside of game two in the Atlanta and Philadelphia series, which was awesome, Austin Riley hit that big home run, I can't really think of any, like, super exciting, nail-biting games, crazy games other than that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's oddly lacked some of the drama that we usually see in October baseball. It's true. I mean, a lot of these teams have, like, jumped on the other team in the first inning, you know, a ton of times. I mean, we saw it again last night in that Phillies game two win. And maybe a part of this too is all the top teams in the regular season, you know, based on wins, they're all out of the playoffs. They went a combined 1-13, which is strange. So we have all these championship series with teams that were, you know, 90 wins or less, and they're still good teams, obviously, but they're not like those juggernaut teams we saw in the regular season. Yeah, I think this one is fair, and we hope they turn it around here, either in these series or at least in the World Series, because it would be weird if we get two more sweeps here. And then let's say the Phillies roll the Rangers, let's say, in a World Series, it would be like we would go without a single series that was sort of like close, which nobody wants. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird too, because like usually in the playoffs, like in any sport, like fans love upsets. It's like, oh my gosh, the one seed fell, the two seed fell. But this is kind of an outlier, an odd case where it's like too many upsets have almost hurt the on-field product, because like you said, the top teams, I think, went, you said 1-13.
Yeah.
And like you've got lower seeded teams and there's already calls or people already questioning the playoff format, which I think is ridiculous. Like this is year two of this. Mm-hmm. And you can't claim you can't fault MLB. I mean, it's not MLB's fault that the top seeds lost and didn't perform. But yeah, like there's just something missing. But we still have the championship series, the league championship series, and the World Series. So hopefully it is more competitive. But yeah, like up to this point, and it pains me so much to say it as a baseball fan, but it's just been lackluster.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully these series sort of get a little closer here, or at least a World Series. All right. Love the fair or foul. Good stuff there, Joel.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it's possible to have it both ways. I'm all set for summer thanks to Mack Weldon. The Vesper polo shirt is so breathable you can wear it on the golf course, but it looks classy enough to wear to a party. The Maverick Tech chino short is ultra flexible, and the Pima crew neck t-shirt is perfect for those casual weekends. There's no need to be uncomfortable in your clothing ever again. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon Apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads. An ultra-soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. That's the Silver Crew Neck T-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code MLBSHOW. That's MackWeldon.com. Promo code MLB Show.
Time for a new segment here on No Bunts. We're calling Hit for the Cycle. Hit it. I'm hitting it. Oh, it's been hit. I can vaguely hear it. I definitely can't see it. Don't worry about it.
Carry on.
Okay. Okay. It went smooth in our pre-production meeting. It was a great graphic. All right, so Hit for the Cycle. Sort of some like, you know, zoom out type of questions when we're talking baseball. We got single, double, triple, home run. Obviously the cycle. Quick trivia question. First Blue Jays to hit for the cycle. Blue Jays player to hit for the cycle, Joel. Who was it? Come on.
Rob Ducey?
No, you dropped a Rob Ducey on that one. You got it wrong.
George Bell.
No. I think this... I don't want to say. I think this guy. What's going on? I think this guy may have been canceled.
Gruber. Kelly Gruber.
Kelly Gruber.
Kelly Gruber. Kelly Gruber.
Yes, Kelly Gruber.
He was canceled. Yeah.
Okay, good. What do you like most about baseball? Joel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to kind of give a different answer on this one. What I feel it is a different answer. The thing I like most about baseball, and I'm comparing this to the other sports, is I love the parity of baseball. I love how it's even between all 30 teams, and it has been for quite some time. If you look at teams that have, like, in all four, you know, the four major sports in yep. North America, in baseball, only six teams haven't won a World Series. When you compare that to the NBA, and 11 teams have not won the championship. NHL, 11 teams haven't won the championship. NFL, 12 teams haven't won the championship. So I love the parity in baseball. I feel the gatekeepers have done a great job in maintaining that. Some people might disagree. There kind of was an era, I feel like, in the early 2000s where it was just Boston, New York. And, you know, they're just buying a team. But, you know, through the CBA and, you know, team Moneyball and other things like that, small market teams have been able to exploit certain loopholes and have been able to be competitive. And this is a perfect example. This year, there's six new teams in the playoffs that weren't in the playoffs last year. Hmm. So I love the parity. It's always great to see new blood. There's always competitive new teams. And I know a salary cap has pros and cons, and I'm not going to have that debate right now, but baseball has kind of figured out a way to not have a salary cap, but still maintain a competitive balance. And the way they've kind of done it, I feel they've actually made it more competitive than the other sports. And what I like about that is that, listen, if you're close and you want to open up your checkbook and you want to go out and sign that player and it's going to put you over the tax, you're able to do that. But in the other three sports, it's like, you're like, oh man, like how can we maintain this competitive team and like be under the cap and
we got to get rid of and get penalized.
I don't like that. You know, like when you're so close and then you got to let guys go. So I like the competitive parity in baseball. I think that's good for the sport. I think it keeps fans of all fan bases engaged. And, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, Skeets. It's just unpredictable. Like, you never kind of know what you're going to see year to year. Whereas I feel like in the other sports at the beginning of the year, like if I gave you a chance to pick four teams to win a championship, one of those four teams is most likely going to hit. Whereas in baseball, like, who knows? I mean, no one had Arizona and Texas in the league championship series this year. Like, absolutely no one. And here we are. So yeah, love the competitive parity. That's the thing I like most about baseball.
Good answer there. JD, feel free to jump in as well. I'll just go quickly. One of my favorite things, it's always stuck with me, my grandpa told me this when I was like really, really young, is the best thing about a baseball game is that you can see something in every game that's never happened before.
And absolutely.
I have no idea if it's actually true, but it sounds good. I think there is some truth to it. And I do love that. And we talked about it already a couple of weeks ago. I also love, I mean, now we just went over how the postseason's been a little lackluster, but when we get into these high-pressure moments, it's a great game even for TV, just that building between every pitch. It's cinematic, which is fantastic. So I love that, especially the postseason. JD, anything to add?
It's almost better on TV when it gets to that point, I find.
Yeah.
I like seeing the strike zone. I like seeing, you know, knowing what's in and out, which I can't tell when I'm in the nosebleed somewhere. Drinking in the sun. That's my favorite thing about baseball. Just a couple of beers, a couple of pops, sitting there in the sun, enjoying the game.
That's a great point. Like, we're all like locked in right now on the fall baseball, but summer baseball, when you're just kicking it. You know, maybe there's a couple seats open around you. Exactly. You're catching up with a friend. You're sort of watching the game. Mm-hmm. You know, you're sort of not. That's a great time at the game. All right, next one. Hit the double here. What do you least like about baseball, Joel?
Without a doubt, this was an easy one to answer. The over-reliance on analytics. It is just really hurting the on-field product. And you're seeing that in the playoffs where managers are getting, you know, we talked about Dave Roberts. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a perfect example. They just get too cute with the analytics. And I don't like that. Analytics, and I've said this time and time again, analytics should be a tool. And I'm all in favor of using analytics. Like, there's clearly lots and lots of benefits to using them, whether it's roster construction, matchups, things like that. But it shouldn't be the end all and be all. It should be a tool to help you make a decision. They shouldn't be making the decision for you. And even like, you know, like friends that I know that are big, like numbers guys too, even they're saying now, they're like, oh man, like, this is a bit too much. Right. And, you know, I hate to talk about the Blue Jays again, but I mean, in that they took out Berríos in the playoff game, absolutely dealing. And they took him out. And there was that sad picture of him in the dugout, you know, like almost crying, watching his ex-team celebrate. That's one of many examples. The Rays pulled Blake Snell in the 2020 World Series again, absolutely dealing. But the numbers said he's got to come out. It's not good for the game. It's not good for the product. Like, fans don't like it. I get its place, but it's just become too much a part of the game, and I don't like it.
It's maybe veered too much in one direction with some of these managers and organizations, how much they sort of lean on it. Cause you're right. We've talked about it. That to me, as a casual baseball fan, you're like, this guy's cooking. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I know your numbers say, okay, they've seen him a couple times, whatever, pitches on the arm. Everybody understands it, but it's also sports. It's like, yeah, but he's got their number tonight. Like, he's locked
exactly in,
man. Like, so, I mean, I don't envy their position because you're damned if you do, damned if you don't at times, right? You leave him in there and you say, oh, he had it going, and then he gives up a home run and everybody goes, you idiot. He had already pitched 80 right. pitches. What are you doing? So that's tough, but... I think there's some truth to what you're saying, Joel. My answer to this, very strange. Why are these guys forced to wear hats? I don't think you should have to wear a hat, okay? I don't want to wear a hat. But these guys, these baseball players, they have to wear hats.
That's true.
Right? I mean, is that true, Joel? It's mandatory.
It's part of the uniform code. Part, you have to be
like,
in
I can't go out to
uniform.
I can't go out to center field and not wear a hat.
I believe so.
That's so weird when you think about it.
Well, if you're in the hot sun here in Atlanta, you're gonna
I'm
wanna...
saying go ahead and wear a hat, but if I don't want to wear a hat, I shouldn't be forced to wear a hat. I just find it odd.
Just stepping on your style.
Yeah.
You wanna show off?
These guys could even show off their personality a little bit more. Yeah, like they can't wear their hat backwards even out there.
You don't see any
keep
man
that sun
buns
off my neck. Yeah,
there's no man buns in baseball.
They got hats on. What about you, JD?
I'm with Joel. Just chiming in on the stats thing. I think the main the main thing that we're talking about is risk. They're unwilling to take risks, which makes the game less exciting.
Less fun, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And what also, they're trying to mitigate it this year, and this is my answer, is that the games in the season, really it's the season, because they've kind of solved the games being too long, but this season is so goddamn long.
I mean, I said it started in March. Started in March, late March. And here we are, you know, getting close to late October.
Yeah.
It's a long, long season. But you're right. I mean, the game improvements are amazing.
Both on television and at the game, the in-game experience. Yeah. Granted, I went to one game this year. But I stayed till the end, which I never do.
I have talked to many casual baseball fans, and everybody's like, it's better.
Yeah.
It's just, it's much more, the pace is better. You're into it more.
Yeah.
It's just not so dragged out. Yeah. Games were going 4 or 5 hours. Like, you just can't, I mean, we have the attention span of a fly now. Everybody, you can't have games that long. So they've done a great job.
Yeah.
All right. Next one here. What is one thing you would alter or change about baseball, Joel?
So for me, and I think a lot of fans share this sentiment, is, and I don't know how you solve this because it's very complex. There's a lot of money involved, but you have to get rid of local blackouts on streaming services and apps. I mean, you're actively suppressing the product from fans who want to see it. And the majority of fans, and like my friends who watch baseball, they get MLB TV. They want a lot of them have cut the cords. And that's where the trend is going. A lot of them just want to get it to follow their local team, but because of their ISP, their local games are blacked out. So they're forced to watch it on cable, but they don't have cable because they've cut the cord. So they're going to illegal streaming sites and things like that.
Yeah.
They need to get this sorted out. The TV deals are just so disjointed between regional sports networks and like Apple TV. And I think there's games on YouTube, and then you need subscriptions to these. It's just all over the place. Now, to Rob Manfred's credit, he has said they know that they need to address this. They're trying to address this, but it's very complex because you've got so much money, like with the networks and things like that. So I don't really know how you solve this problem, but I can't watch the MLB games. The playoff games are blacked out here in Taiwan. I have to use a streaming site to watch them, which is, fine, but it's an extra annoying step that I feel I shouldn't have to do. So yeah, get the streaming thing sorted out. I don't know if the NBA has a similar issue with streaming, but yeah, local fans should be able to watch MLB TV and not have it be blacked out. It, to me, it's ridiculous. I get why it is, but it's just annoying from a fan standpoint. Fix the blackouts.
There are the same complications with the NBA League Pass for sure. You're right. Any of these sports, if you buy the equivalent of League Pass or whatever these leagues call it, you're proving that I am a fan of the sport. Therefore, I will pay this amount of money. Therefore, give me the games, all of them. It's so, so stupid. In the NBA, it might only get worse here. They got a new TV deal coming up. There's going to be, Apple's probably going to be in play. Amazon's going to be in play. I mean, these games are going to be scattered all over the place. And I think if they do that, fine. But then give a fan the ability that wants to pay whatever, $150 a year, whatever it is, to actually watch all the games in one place. And I'm with you. Same thing for baseball here. You want to grow the sport? Jesus, let them watch it.
Totally. Or exactly. And if you must black them out because you want the fan to come, if you're a League Pass subscriber, give them a massive discount on tickets. You know what I mean? I'm a fan. You're getting a cut of this League Pass that I'm paying. So give me 75% off my tickets, and then I'll come down to the arena.
Yeah, but these are blacked out because ABC or ESPN has paid big dollars for these particular games, and they're saying, no, don't watch it on League Pass. You got to watch it where we have it, because we paid a lot of money for that, and we got to sell ads on it. And it's just it's not a great fan experience is what we're getting at here, which I mean, they put the fans fourth, fifth, or sixth here in the position, in the batting order, if you will. Anything else you would change, JD, or alter about baseball?
I like both of your answers. I think I said it before, shorter season.
How do you feel about that, Joel? As a more of a diehard baseball fan, because I mean that's what if you talk to any casual baseball fan, it's basically one of the first things they say: season's too long, 162 games. Are you kidding me? But what do you think about that?
I mean, I'm just used to it being 162. So, like, if you shorten it by like 20 games or by 30 games, what does it solve? I don't think it makes things better. I don't think it makes things better or worse. I just, like, I'm used to it being 162 games. Like, it's, that's, I feel, what another, it's another point of differentiation from the other sports, like NBA and NHL's 82 games. Yeah. Football, I think, now is 17 games, and baseball's a marathon. You know, baseball's a marathon. It's designed. So I, like, yeah, as a hardcore fan, me and JD, obviously we're a bit different, but I like 162 games. And even in a 162 game season, it still comes down to the wire. That last week of September, you've got playoff races and divisional races. So yeah, it is exciting, but it is long. And, you know, I don't really start seriously paying attention. I mean, it's different, like, working for No Bunts now, but like, as a hardcore fan, I don't really start taking teams or things seriously until like June, July, you know, because then you kind of know who the contenders and the pretenders are at that point.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, late June, I don't care unless the Jays are in their red uniforms on Canada Day. Other than that, like, who gives a shit? You know? Like,
I mean, the same thing goes on in the NBA where casuals say, I don't care until Christmas, you know, even though the season starts, you know, here very, very soon.
But look at the NFL. Everybody lives and dies on every single game.
Yes.
Every single game.
Yeah.
And the entire week revolves. If you're a football fan, your entire week revolves around it.
Yeah.
During the season, it's very intense. And it's the most popular sport in this country. So, you know.
For sure.
There's something there. But they just keep adding games, too, because they're like, oh, more money, more money.
Fair enough. But yeah, 17 games is a lot different than 82 is a lot different than 162.
For sure. All right, final one here. Mm-hmm. We're going yard, home run. What's the best thing baseball has done in the past 5 years, Joel?
The best thing baseball has done in the last 5 years is finally embracing and allowing players to show emotion. This has been long overdue. You know, baseball has been a sport of tradition and unwritten rules and adhering to those unwritten rules. But, you know, in recent years, you're seeing players kind of, I don't want to say not follow that anymore, but kind of blaze their own path and, you know, pound their chest, flip bats, home run celebrations in the dugout, walk-off, home run, choreograph celebrations, whatever. It just humanizes them, and I think that really resonates and connects with fans. I think fans love to see that. They've clearly gone younger as a result, and they've been able to attract younger fans. It just adds so much more to the product on TV or, like, when you're watching the game live, whatever. I just love seeing that emotion, and that has been absent in the game for so long. Even when players hit big home runs like 10, 15 years ago, even if it was a walk-off or whatever, you know, they're just kind of like, woo, we did it. But now it's just so much more emotional, so much more engaging. I love to see that. And then, you know, for the godfathers or the old people who don't like it, I mean, you know, deal with it, because this is what it is. The fans love it. We love to see it. And it's absolutely normal. I mean, you go up and you hit a huge home run. You're human. Of course, you're going to show emotion. Yeah. Like, how could you not? You shouldn't be expected to suppress that. I mean, I think my favorite moment was actually last year in the Phillies. I think it was Reese Hoskins. And he just, instead of a bat flip, he just spiked his bat right into the ground. And people went bananas for it. I loved it. So I love how baseball has kind of embraced the personalities, embraced the emotions of the players. It's just added another exciting element to what I feel is just an ever improving product at this point.
Yeah, I mean, my godson plays baseball here in Atlanta, and you go and watch these games, and all these kids are, you know, dressing or trying to replicate all their favorite baseball players with the chains and their shades that they wear and their style. And it's like, yeah, they are leaning into more of that sort of that NBA angle where it's like, sell these guys, they're superheroes and their personalities and stuff like that. So that is a good thing, where you're right. 10 years ago, even, what I mean, 5 years ago, even, like, it was all like, hey, stop that, don't do that. And there was this debate about, like, what are we doing here? Like, we're losing fans left and right here, especially young fans. So maybe we should lean into that and let these guys have some fun. Dare they have fun playing baseball? It's like, yeah, what a wild concept. My answer for this, and we already talked about it a lot, but these changes to the game are fantastic.
Yeah.
It's amazing that it took this long for the pitch clock. Now some of the other ones, like, I'm not so sure with these guys wearing oven mitts to steal bases and stuff like that. Like, part of me, maybe I'm a little old school. It's like, hey, man, you're sliding in there. Maybe you're going to break a finger, but that's the risk you're taking. But we want to protect the players. I get that. But the bigger bases and stuff like that, I mean, I do wonder if it's going to get too easy for these guys on the base paths to steal, because the pitcher's got the pitch clock. They can't throw over there all the time and keep them close to the bag. They have the giant mitts, bigger bags. I wonder if it goes too far, but I like these guys, as I've said before too. Like, I like the speed on the base pass, and there's more stealing, so that's exciting.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
All the rule changes, JD.
Yeah, same. And I love seeing the specific pitches in real time on the Jumbotron. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a four-finger knuckleball or fastball or whatever. Like, I didn't ever know the difference of that, and just the way that they can measure that stuff. But the best thing in the last 5 years in baseball is no bunts.
Oh,
yes.
I'm a company
Great
man.
Great answer.
Great answer. I was wondering who was going to say it. So JD, the man that produces it, comes through. All right, that is our new segment, which I promise you does have a cool graphic.
It does.
Package.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well,
do you want to just hit it now?
No. Because I'm afraid it won't work.
Okay. All right. Well, let's wrap up No Bunts here with some trivia. Joel, you've got some questions for JD and I. And I guess is there a movie or a pop culture twist to these?
Well, hopefully. I said pop culture when I was talking with you offline, but then I was like, they're actually all about movies and TV. So five trivia questions. Yeah, about movies, TV, and obviously baseball related.
Okay.
So first question. Okay. One of the following players did not host Saturday Night Live. Okay. Which one was it? Mark McGwire, Deion Sanders, or Derek Jeter? So which one of these three players did not host Saturday Night Live? Mark McGwire, Deion Sanders, or Derek Jeter?
Okay, I think we can remove Deion Sanders from the equation. Here's why. I was just watching SNL. They had somebody was doing a Deion Sanders impersonation.
Okay.
Because of being the coach, obviously, for Colorado.
Right.
And they showed a clip of him on SNL, like dancing, like real Deion.
Okay, right.
So he had to have been there. And then
I feel like
Derek Jeter, it's in New York.
He's so New
Did
York.
Did he host,
He screams though? New York.
Mark McGwire would be horrible, wouldn't he?
He would be horrible, and wasn't he like a doping guy like back in the day?
Yeah,
like,
but he was also like, you know, sock and dingers.
No, I know,
nobody
but...
Nobody cared.
Yeah.
I'm gonna guess Mark McGwire.
I'm going McGwire as well.
I guess,
but I feel like it's a trick question,
I know,
because Jeter just screams New York.
I know. It's okay. We're going to go Mark McGwire, or we already regret it. Is that the answer?
You are correct.
Hey!
You are correct.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Derek Jeter hosted on December 1st, 2001, and Deion Sanders hosted February 19th, 1995.
All right.
There you go. Okay, yes.
Way to talk it out.
Okay. That's good. That's good. All right, 1-0.
Okay, second question. I'm going to read the IMDb description of a baseball movie. You tell me what movie this is. Oh. It's a one-sentence description from IMDb.
Okay.
Lindsay is stuck in the middle of her relationship with Ben and his passion for the Boston Red Sox.
Fever Pitch.
Hold on. Who's in this movie? Drew Barrymore? Is that them?
And Jimmy Fallon?
That sounds right. What did you say the first time? I thought that was right. No, not Pitch Perfect. No,
it's
not,
but it's like Fever Pitch.
Oh,
or,
man.
It's a baseball pun for sure.
Yeah.
And it's actually a remake from a soccer movie.
Oh, really?
Which I think was called like Pitch as well. Like there was Pitch in it.
You want to go Fever Pitch? I don't feel that.
I don't feel great about it, but.
All right, we're going Fever Pitch.
I don't have anything
else. We're going Fever Pitch.
JD, you should feel great about it, because that's the answer.
Wow.
Fever Pitch.
Wow. We are really talking this out.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I got to make this harder. You guys got Fever Pitch?
Two for two at the plate.
All right.
Is it Drew Barrymore and Jimmy Fallon? Is that right?
It's Drew Barrymore, yeah, and Jimmy Fallon, okay. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
No,
I've never actually
either.
Seen it, yeah. Okay. Question number three. Okay. Three baseball movies have been nominated for Best Picture. Nominated for Best Picture.
Right. Okay.
Name them.
Okay, well,
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams, I think.
Yeah.
Bull Durham.
Yes.
Both Costner, right? Yeah.
Is that right?
I think so.
And then what's the third? The Natural?
That's great.
A great
pull.
Movie.
It's a great movie. 100%.
Robert Redford? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to go with those three. We're not overthinking it. We're on fire. So, yeah. Field of Dreams.
Okay.
What was the second one we said?
Bull Durham.
And then The Natural.
Hold on.
Oh, you thought of another one.
No, but Bull Durham, I'm second guessing.
Oh, why?
I don't know.
Go with that instinct, JD. Go with that instinct. I'll give you a clue. It's not Bull Durham.
Oh,
it's not
Bull Durham. Well, it's not.
Okay. Okay.
What other?
Okay. What else is there? Major League was never nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah,
they overlooked it.
It was robbed. Yeah. It was robbed. But I digress.
What about A League of Their Own?
Ooh.
Is that? Would that be nominated for?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
That's also a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's slip it in there.
I like it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Are you guys locking this in?
Yeah.
We're locking it in.
Yeah, we're locking in Field of Dreams, A League of Their Own, and The Natural. I don't feel great about that last one. Okay, but yeah, those are our three.
You got one of the three.
Give us the one we got.
Field of Dreams.
Okay.
Moneyball.
Oh,
come on. Should have got that.
And the other one going way back, but Pride of the Yankees.
Yeah.
Okay, I would have never gotten that. Never seen it.
This in my research. So these three movies were nominated for Best Picture, but eight baseball movies overall have had Academy Award nominations. And I believe Bull Durham had an Academy Award nomination for Best Adapted Screenplay. Don't quote me on that, but Bull Durham was in there. Yeah. Okay. Question four. Mixing it up here, doing a little something different. I'm going to give you three clues, just very simple clues. I want you to tell me what baseball movie it is.
Okay.
First clue, a new kid moves to town.
Sandlot.
The Los Angeles Dodgers pretending to sneak a kiss with the lifeguard.
It's the Sandlot. Is that the name of it?
That's a movie, yeah.
It's the kids.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
JD, I can't get anything by you.
There you go.
Can't get anything by you. You're like Patrick Waugh in 88.
Patrick Waugh. Thank you.
Okay. First name to come to mind. I'm not a hockey guy. Okay, JD, you're killing this. New kid moves to town. You got it right away.
Yeah.
Sandlot right away.
I was thinking like rookie of the year. I was like, did he move in that movie? But yeah, no.
Yeah.
Is that what it was called?
I don't know.
What's the movie I'm thinking about?
Yeah, Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year.
With,
okay.
Henry Rowan Gardner.
Yeah, that's right.
And John Candy, greatest Canadian. Greatest Canadian, John Candy.
Wow. Rest in peace.
Okay. All right. This one. I want to stump you guys on one of them. Okay. In the show Better Call Saul, Kim Wexler can be seen wearing a t-shirt of an MLB team. Oh. Name that team.
Oh, my God. I think Joel shared this on his Instagram account.
Sure did.
You did, didn't you?
And you liked it too, Skeets.
Yeah.
Okay,
it takes place in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Albuquerque, yeah.
Which New Mexico does not have a team. Where was Kim Wexler from?
Holy moly. I'm trying to picture it. My mind is going to Padres.
Okay.
I'm trying to read Joel's face there. I got nothing.
I literally can
see the Joel Instagram, but I can't see what logo's on that shirt. We're going Padres. We don't feel great about it. You may have got us here.
Okay, I'm gonna give you, because you guys are, Kim Wexler was from Omaha, Nebraska. Geographically, this team is close-ish.
Can I pull up a map of America?
Omaha, Nebraska. So what's in the middle there?
Yeah.
We got, is Minnesota close
to that? Oh, I know what it is. I think I know what it
is. Go on.
Is it the Kansas City Royals?
Oh,
Winner, winner, yeah. You shall eat chicken dinner, Jay Skeets.
Yeah, needed that geographical.
Great pull. Great pull.
Had you guys did so good. I had to give you a clue on the last one. That was tough. That was obscure. Yeah. And Kim Wexler's a real one. She's a real
she
one.
She really is.
One of my favorite TV characters. That final scene where she's...
Hold on, I haven't seen the end of it. Shut up.
Final scene. Jeez. Final scene. Murphy, anyway. Man.
Jesus.
All right. Yeah, Kansas City Royals.
Good stuff. Great trivia questions. I love that. I don't know how much work that took you, but hey, don't be afraid to do that again. I like that.
Yeah.
For next week on No Bunch. We're going to be a day earlier next week. I believe we're going live on Tuesday.
That is
around the same time, 8:15 Eastern. So make sure you subscribe to the Athletic Baseball Show feed. Get yourself a subscription to the Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. If you're an NBA fan, jump over to No Dunks live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Here on Wednesday, we're going to be doing our NBA awards predictions. Myself, TK, JD. We've got our season previews all week long. The season starts next week. But yeah, hit the like button, at the Athletic Baseball Show. Leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Go watch a scary movie for Joel. Freak yourself out. You dressing up as anything for Halloween, Joel?
TBD. TBD, Skeets. TBD. I'm not a costume guy. I'm not creative. You're the costume guy. You should give me an idea. You got great costumes.
You love costumes. You're always sharing that guy on Instagram that does those amazing cosplays, like cheap cosplays.
Oh, low-cost cosplay. Yeah. Dude's a legend. That I can't touch him. That guy's on another level.
Very funny. All right, we'll call it there, guys. For Joel, JD, myself, enjoy the rest of the championship series. We'll see you here next week on Tuesday for No Bunts. Embrace the day, people.